You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two very powerful forces that are at odds with each other but are challenging each other for the hearts and lives of people in the world. The first force is one that we're all only too familiar with, the love of power. The love of power, of course, is at the heart of nation states and individual lives, people wanting to use power to enhance their position, their profit, their personal potential. The love of power has accomplished some things, possibly, but in many ways it is very destructive. It's laid waste to empires. It's destroyed countless lives. Against that force that is very strong in the world, the love of power, standing against that is the power of love that flows from God. Those two things are constantly at war with each other in the lives and hearts of people in the world. And God would have the power of His love carry the day in the hearts and lives of His people, not the love of power. With that in mind, I want to share with you some thoughts about what Paul says today in the second lesson, the letter to the Ephesians from chapter 3. I know the gospel lesson's pretty cool. It's a great story. But I'm going to focus on Ephesians with you today. I hope you don't mind that shift. Because Paul does something amazing here in this letter, in this part of Ephesians. In the first couple chapters, Paul has set the stage. He's told these new Christians in Ephesus who they are and what God has done for them and who they're called to be in the world. He's set it up. And now in chapter 3, before he gets to more practical matters later on in the letter, Paul prays for these new Christians. And his prayer is this passage we have today. It is a prayer inviting those believers into a new way of life that stands over against the love of power and invites them into the power of God's love. Paul is praying for them. It's important to remember that these people that Paul is writing to them from prison. Paul is suffering in prison at the time that he's sending this letter to these people. But he's still, it's just such a, even while he's in prison, and in a Roman prison was no picnic. He was suffering. But he still wanted them to hear what he was praying for them, as they come to faith and as they grow in faith. Many of whom may have been just recently baptized, possibly. Paul says he says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. This is about all humanity. And he bows his knees. He's on his knees before God and he prays. Paul was a person of prayer. Jesus was a person of prayer. Paul was a person of prayer. And here is a powerful one that he prays for those believers then and by extension for us now. So here I want to share with you what he has to say. There are five components to this prayer that I want to lift up for you. First, Paul prays that each believer may be strengthened in our being with power through God's Spirit. Strengthened in our inner being with power through God's Spirit. Most of us in our lives are attentive to our outer nature, right? How we look, our physical well-being, Many are avid exercisers. Maybe you swim, walk, hike, run, go to the gym. Our outer nature is important, and we try to take care of it, and so that we'll feel good and maybe look good too. Who knows? But the outer nature is a part of things. Are any of you watching the Olympics right now? Any of you paying attention to the Olympics? Those athletes take their outer nature very seriously. If you look at them, they are incredible physical specimens, pretty much universally. They have worked years to perfect that outer physical nature for this that will help them accomplish the goals that they are wanting to achieve through their whatever sport they're a part of, whether it's swimming or whatever it might be. Outer nature is important. Attending to it is important. Our health is important. God wants us to be healthy. But the outer nature ultimately wastes away. It ultimately fails, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians. But what Paul is focusing on in prayer here is the inner nature. He wants us to be strengthened. He wants the believer to be strengthened within, on the inside, in their spirit. This is the strength that we need for the work of discipleship. And it's more than just being fit enough physically. It is about that inner conviction and confidence that clings to God's purpose for the world and for our lives, and for the courage to do God's work of love and stand strong against any opposition. Let's think about it. What renews the inner nature? Well, I think first of all, we got to say the first thing that renews the inner nature, that makes us strong within, is prayer. Prayer is at the heart of it. Being fervent in prayer every single day. Another, regular worship. You're here in worship today. Being here, gathering around God's holy word and around his table, receiving the bread and wine of Holy Communion, that strengthens our inner being. The daily study of Scripture. Work in the word in your life every day, if you can, is important as well. Keeping that word close. Attention to things like this builds up our inner being and gives us that inner power, that inner confidence, that inner capacity that the Holy Spirit wants us to have. And it's the Holy Spirit that's working through those things to make it possible for us to be strengthened within. We don't make it happen, but the Spirit makes it happen through those other things. So they should not be neglected. Paul goes on to pray then that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith, we teach in our Lutheran catechism, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It comes as a gift from God, the faith to receive God's grace and love. Paul prays here that each Christian will have the faith to trust what God has promised. What has God promised? That you and I belong to God forever. And that God is with us now, even now, as a constant source of presence and power in our lives. In Christ, God was pleased to dwell, it tells us in John's gospel, in his fullness, in God's fullness. God made his home in the very person of Jesus Christ in the world. And now that person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit wants to make a home in our hearts. Live there, abide there, so that the Spirit can direct our life and will according to God's will. and not our own. That's how we shift away from the love of power to the power of love, when the Spirit is directing us. Paul goes on to pray that you will be, and this is the third thing, rooted and grounded in love. That's a beautiful image from nature. Plants need strong roots. Those roots sink deep into the soil. And what do those roots do? They anchor that plant. Jesus tells the story of the in Mark's gospel earlier on in chapter 4, the parable of the sower. He illustrates that whole thing about roots. I won't go to it now, but you could go back and find it later if you want. But you need strong roots to anchor the plant in the soil. And those roots need to go deep so they can draw nutrition and sustenance from the soil as well as water, so they can grow sturdy and strong. And that's what God wants us to do, to sink our roots deep in the soil of God's love. That provides the solid foundation for us to live out our discipleship. Paul prays we will sink our roots deeply into that love, to trust what God has promised, and that God's love will be the food we feed on. In a few moments, we're going to come to the table. We've just begun looking at chapter 6 of John's Gospel, called the Bread of Life Discourse in the Bible. We're going to focus on Jesus as the bread of life. Communion is going to be prominently featured, I imagine, the next few weeks in your preaching and study. And when we come to that table, another, not unlike the feeding miracle long ago that we heard in our gospel reading, another feeding miracle happens. Christ comes to be in us. Body and blood, flesh and blood in our flesh and blood, becoming one with us. The fourth thing on the list of Paul is praying for here: I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. But he doesn't say of what. Well, it's of God and God's love for the world. He wants us to be strong enough to grasp the extent of the love of Christ, which will fill all creation one day. How wide is it? What's the breadth of that love? It includes everyone. How long is it? It's eternal. How high is it? It stretches to the heavens. And how deep is it? It penetrates to the dead and embraces them as well. It encompasses, it will fill all things in due course. Paul would pray that we would be able to comprehend that in our minds as the vision, you see, of what God is up to, and make that vision our own. And the fifth thing that Paul prays for here is to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that we will be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. God wants to pour all of His love, His life-giving power, His goodness into us, into our lives. And God is about abundance, not scarcity. That's what the gospel lesson was about. There was a lot left over, right? More than enough. Always more than enough. All were filled. There is never just enough with God. There is always more than enough. And the grace of God is abundant. And there is enough for all. And God wants it to fill every human life on this planet. We get filled by word and sacrament. And then we get sent out. And like the bread, we get broken and shared. Like the wine, we get poured out on others for the sake of others. Dispensed with life-giving power to change the world. One another key difference between the love of power and the power of love. The power of love builds up and gives life. finally, Paul has this powerful benediction. I want you to listen to it one more time. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can all ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Beautiful benediction. God will give us even more than we can ask or imagine. I would invite you to consider, what might you be imagining now and asking? What might God do in and through you as an individual believer? Or is this a collectively as a community of faith? What more might God be wanting of you? What does your imagination tell you? Let your imagination run wild. Who needs to be loved? They got you. Okay? We need to realize that we, you and I, are perfectly capable of doing way more than we ever thought possible. Double, triple, certainly. We are often way too short-sighted about our possibilities and potential to live out our faith. We needn't be. Paul wasn't. He absolutely wasn't. We should never, says Paul, limit the power of what God's love can accomplish through each and every one of us. Never doubt it. And so finally, I offer this as a prayer to conclude. Paul's prayer is way better than anything I can pray, but I pray this for you. Holy God, fill us, fill your people this day inwardly with your power and your purpose. Lord, help us to reject the love of power in our lives and embrace your way of the power that brings power through your love into the lives of others in the world, the kind of power that Jesus embodied. May we live each and every day, and may our hearts be gathered here together in Christ's love. Anchor us securely, we pray, O God, in your love, in your servant love that Jesus taught us. And help us to grasp the extent of your saving purpose. And give us your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your fullness through your grace and goodness, your love, and your power. May we live out our faith faithfully each day. Amen. We turn to our hymn of the day.